The Robert Scott Bell Show.
These days, it's more important than ever to know where our food and supplements come from. That's why, at Plus CBD Oil, we believe it is critical to manage every step of the supply chain process. It all starts with certified hemp seeds. Our hemp grows tall, like bamboo, and is harvested within 3 months. After harvest, the hemp is dried and sent to our CO2 extraction facility, where our raw formula is extracted. The extracted oil is then lawfully imported to our state-of-the-art in-house laboratory in San Diego, California. There, we convert our raw formula into our total plant complex and gold formula oils. Our oils are then used to formulate our award-winning Plus CBD oil product line. The products are then tested for cannabinoid content and the absence of harmful substances. But we go one step further. We then send our products to a third-party laboratory to verify concentration, quality, and safety. After that, the products have finished their journey and are ready to be shipped to your local health food store. Because at Plus CBD Oil, we believe how you do anything is how you do everything. That's why, from seed to shelf, we are committed to providing safe and effective hemp CBD products for you and your loved ones. It's our promise to you. Learn more about our commitment to full traceability at pluscbdoil.com.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
I listen to get accurate, up-to-date information.
I've learned so much from him.
It is awesome. It's the best entertainment that I've found.
You rock the health world. Keep it up. I love you.
Now, the voice of health, freedom, and liberty, here's Robert Scott Bell.
All right, y'all. It's time for the travel edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show. Am I flying? Am I driving? Who knows? We're going to Colorado today. And that is the big event tomorrow for Dr. Cordy Lee Williams, hashtag Megaphone Marine, hashtag 1776 Forever Free. If you're not sure what's going on, go to 1776foreverfree.com or check the show notes for the link to the event. noon to 3 Mountain Time in Larkspur, Colorado, and that's between Denver and Colorado Springs. We'll be high up at, I don't know if it's 5,000-6,000 feet, and so we're just gonna have a good old time. Let me check in with Super Don, my buddy, my brother, who's with me doing the pre-record so that we can do a show and just relax and chill on a Friday and get into the weekend.
So which is not only is this a travel day for you, but this is a time travel thing that we're doing here today as well.
Oh, it's time travel. That is. It's true.
We are experiencing time travel right at this moment.
Well, all kinds of exciting things happen.
Which I watched, by the way, speaking of time travel, I watched last night Bill and Ted's Face the Music.
You didn't. You saw it?
I did.
Dude, excellent. Now, was
Party
it excellent?
Time.
Was it excellent? Was it a trip down memory lane?
You know, it was all right. It wasn't bad.
They didn't phone it in. I don't feel like they would phone in the performance.
Here's the thing. My son, he was watching it with us, and he was kind of like,
Did he have memories of it when we watched it?
Not so much, because, you know, he's younger than I am, you know? Yeah. And so for him, it wasn't all that great. For me, of course, the nostalgia part of it, they paid homage to George Carlin, which
was
cool.
I was wondering if they would do that.
They did. They did. They had a thing there, and it had some moments in it. So, but
Rufus, he was Rufus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. I won't do any spoilers, but it was a good show. It was good. It was worth watching.
Well, look, I think about going back to school all the time. No, I don't. I don't really.
No?
Well, you know, memories of school, certainly there are some good ones. You know, my daughter's still in high school. My son graduated. He's working, but he's also doing a trade school kind of thing as well. And I think back to, you know, what it was like to be in school. And once in a while, we'd get sick, right? You'd have a cold or a flu, or maybe you got food poisoning.
Sure, absolutely.
But it wasn't, you know, was there ever a time, can you remember, Super Don, going, I mean, I went to public school. You went to public school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Government indoctrination centers. We had to overcome a lot. Was there a time where you got sick and then they suddenly like shut down the school or quarantined you or anybody you were around? I mean, do you remember that ever happening?
Never. No.
No.
That never happened when I went to school.
No. And certainly there were germophobes back then, but not to the crazy extent that we're seeing now in our country and around the world due to COVID crazy. Our first story of the day, and Super Don will have it up in the show notes for today. I'll just show you a page that I want you to know about too. If you're not sure how to listen or tell your friends how to listen or watch the Robert Scott Bell Show, you go to listen tab at the top of the page at robertscottbell.com. You plug into the 24-hour daily audio stream. Live shows are on during the show, and then it goes into archive reruns. And Super Don added our good buddy who has Radio America USA, WRMDB, and that's at RadioAmericaUSA.com, in addition to Facebook Live, YouTube, Vaughn Live, Periscope, DLive, Twitch, an audio podcast at Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, UK Health Radio, GCN, SoundCloud, Brighteon, Spotify. Dude, we're all over the place. What is this thing called Discord, though? That sounds scary. Is that a new thing?
Discord. I'm still working on trying to make that. That's a chat service.
All right.
Speaking of Spotify, we got to bring this up sometime, if we haven't yet, by the time you're listening to this.
Okay.
The big brouhaha going on between Joe Rogan and Spotify right now.
Well, are we on Spotify, or is that a pay to be on Spotify?
No, I think we are on Spotify.
I think we are, right?
You can, is that you not can get one the of podcast them? On Spotify. Okay.
But yeah, Joe Rogan went exclusive. He was on YouTube and all that, and then Spotify bought him up.
$100 million deal. Sounds like Spotify courted him because they wanted to get him on there.
Well, that's huge, because he did have one of the biggest followings on YouTube, right? So if they pulled him off of that, put him on Spotify. Now, right, Joe Rogan's going to be covering all kinds of topics. He has some interesting guests from time to time, too. You brought up to me before we went to air that there are apparently some liberal snowflakes that don't like freedom of speech at Spotify.
They want to have oversight, editorial oversight on his podcast before they go live, which anybody who's familiar with Joe Rogan knows that Joe Rogan will never agree to anything like that. He's all about the free speech. So it's just amazing to me how censorship.
What were they upset about? What did Joe Rogan do that people at Spotify got upset that they wanted to censor?
Well, okay. The first thing that they're worried about misinformation, and then they accused him of transphobia. And the reason is first off, disinformation, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
He had read somewhere that there was this theory that there were liberal activists that were purposely setting fires in Oregon.
Was that not at all true? Was there any arsonist? I mean,
apparently it wasn't true. And then he apologized. Said, hey, look, you know, I was wrong, whatever. So they use that as an example. And the second instance here is he had a guest on, mm-hmm. and this guest wrote a book having to do with corrective surgery. And they were talking about a couple of topics. Number one, about the extremely young women, girls, that are getting this quote corrective surgery that believe that they are need to have their organs altered in order to become male or female.
They call it transitioning, I think.
Yeah, right? And yeah. So they're putting this opinion out there that that's not an okay thing to do. And secondly, I guess the guest question is to whether some of these women are actually trans at all, or whether they're just looking for acceptance.
Whoa. So I got to ask you, what kind of money are these people making at Spotify that, you know, want to whine and complain and censor?
And that actually in the article I was reading, they pointed out the fact that it's normal wages for these people that are threatening to strike or walk out at this point. Mm-hmm. If Spotify does not allow them
editorial control of Joe Rogan show,
they make like $120,000-$130,000 a year. And dude, so people in the era of that
COVID crazy 2020, when people are just desperately trying to work
in this type of economy, there's probably a few people out there that would love to take those jobs. So
they're making six figure plus, and they're going to complain and walk out. You know, let them walk out and bring somebody who actually appreciates freedom of speech into that
mix. Imagine that. So anyway, not to get off on another tangent.
I don't know. That is pretty outrageous.
But that just, you said Spotify, and it reminded me of that. So let's talk about sneezing.
Well, I want to go back into the whole scholastic question, you know, going back to our history of, you know, you got sick once in a while. A lot of times you were still in school blowing your nose. I mean, do you remember that? You didn't necessarily, everybody went home. There were people that were sick blowing their nose.
I very rarely ever went home. Yeah. I mean, you didn't go home sick unless you really were sick.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some people that game the system, you know, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off type thing, right?
Yeah, we said that. Yeah. That's right. But in this case, here's a story of Arlington. Is this Arlington, Texas? Let me see. Arlington. No, it's out of Boston. Arlington fourth grader. All right, here, I'm going to show everybody this article. Arlington fourth grader sent home from school after sneezing. Okay? So at this point, I mean, what if you have a tickle in your throat? What if you have you look up at the sun and you have a sun sneeze? Super Don, you ever had a sun sneeze? You look up at the sun and then you sneeze? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
So it's automatically now that if you sneeze, apparently it's not just a sun sneeze or just a tickle in your nose. A father in Arlington said his 9-year-old son was sent home from Bishop Elementary School because he was sneezing. The fourth grade student was told he could not return until he gets a negative COVID-19 test. Lancenette Keita, is that the name? I sneezed two times, then the teacher told me to go to the nurse.
What?
This is
sneeze two times?
This is it. Two times a sneeze and you're done. Lancenette said he felt fine, but those sneezes sent him to the nurse's office where he had to wait for his dad to pick him up. I was thinking I didn't have anything, just a couple of sneezes. Tierno Keita, I think is that the dad? Got a call from school Tuesday morning that caught him by surprise. He says, I've been so upset about it. I'm so upset about sending my kid home. Keita said his son was okay when he left for school and also had no symptoms when he picked him up. Now says his son needs to take a COVID-19 test to be allowed back. Everything's COVID. Every symptom is COVID. And even so, these morons at this school and probably any other school that would do this are sending him in for a test that has no valid standard. I'm not going to say it because Super Don will roll my eyes. You know what kind of test it is. You know what it is. I'll just leave it at that. But you have to test on a test that is not approved. Boom. And then maybe we'll let you back in. How far can this go? We are hearing story after story about children who are normal colds and flus in the school year, now being forced to go home and take a test, and then suddenly if it's positive, who knows how many cycles are run. They are then now contact tracing students. Who was near that kid for more than 15 minutes? Oh, do you have any symptoms? No, doesn't matter. You go home for 2 weeks too. And my point here is, Super Don, this is never going to end. If this is the new normal, if this is the new reality, there's never a time where you can now sneeze and be, that's okay, it was just a sneeze. Every sneeze is going to lead to the fear of mortality, the fear of death.
You know, I'm, okay, let's go back to the story real quick. The dad, apparently, right in front of the news people, because the news people came to talk to him about this, right in front of the news people, took their son's temperature.
Yeah.
Didn't have a fever. And then they have this statement from the school here. Mm-hmm. And the statement says, a student at Bishop Elementary School was sent home early today after he displayed COVID-19 related symptoms. Wait a minute.
What?
I gotta look at something. So I just...
Two sneezes?
I Googled symptoms of COVID-19. Oh.
This decision was made out of an abundance of morons. And in accordance with district protocols related to COVID-19, this isolated incident is not indicative of any need of a wider concern, blah, 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 per district. This is so stupid.
Check it out. From CDC.gov, I'm looking at the list of symptoms of COVID-19. Guess what's not on here?
Can you show that on your screen?
Give me a second.
All right. Because if two sneezes are enough, out of an abundance of caution, because he displayed COVID-19 symptoms. Let's see. Are two sneezes? Is one sneeze listed at the CDC's website? Let's find out here.
This is from CDC.gov, because down here it says learn more at CDC.gov. But here's the list of symptoms.
I see fever, chills, cough, shortness of breath, fatigue, muscle, body aches, new law, taste, smell, sore throat, congestion, a runny nose, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. No sneezing yet.
Do you see any sneezing?
Trouble breathing, persistent pain, new confusion, inability to wake, or bluish lips or face. No!
There's no sneezing on here.
So how does this display a COVID-19 related symptom? It's not even in the related.
Here's the other thing. This list begs the question here, right?
Yeah.
So what happens now? They send him home and forced him to have to get a COVID test before he can come back to school because he sneezed. So now, would it not then be reasonable for this school to send anybody home who coughs once, right?
On the list, right?
Right, right. Or let's say they're kind of tired, right? Fatigue. Oh, nope, sorry. You got to go home.
What kid at school today is not fatigued out of their minds and just falling asleep?
How about a headache, right? Oh, you got a headache? Nope, got to go home. You might have coronavirus, right?
Yeah.
Your muscles kind of sore? Oh, no, you got to go home.
Slippery slope, my Aspen. We're on a slip and slide to medical hell that you can never recover from if this keeps going.
That's crazy.
Good find on the CDC thing, because if they say that was a COVID symptom, it's not on the CDC list. Then
it's not on that list anyway. Maybe there's another list somewhere, or maybe this could be one of those things where the local health authorities have just said that they have determined that that is a symptom, because you know the local health authorities.
Yeah, they take their orders directly from the WHO and the United Nations. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That supersedes even the CDC, apparently. If China and Bill Gates are funding them, you better listen.
That is
I don't mean to be, I don't know, just is cynical the right word here? But I think we all got to start homeschooling, because this is just absurd. We're going to quarantine you, then your family, and on it goes, and they'll say you can't leave your house. Kid sneezed.
You know, I mean, what else can cause a sneeze? If I looked it up right here on another government website, you can sneeze from dust.
Mm-hmm.
You can sneeze from air pollution. You can sneeze from dry air.
How about a teacher wearing perfume or cologne or something?
Spicy foods. Did you know that strong emotions can make you sneeze? I mean, there's all kinds of things that can make you sneeze. But to automatically just say, oh, well, that's COVID-19.
Incredible.
It's a crazy world, man.
All right. Well, let us know what you think. Go to robertscottbell.com. Submit your comments, questions. We got a couple of, I think we got a question and comment of the day we'll get to today. This is, again, travel edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show. They call it an evergreen. I don't know how timeless it is, but regardless, we're going to go for it here. Now, let's talk about once you're home, how they get you to stay home. This article is from United Propaganda International. Study encouraging people to stay home works better than lockdown mandates. Well, isn't that interesting? The heavy hand of government slamming you down and telling you have to stay home, more people go, I'm not going to do that. Versus, would you please stay home? Would that be nice? Because there's stuff going on around here and maybe just, you know, you can cooperate because we're all concerned. And this apparently is basically letting us know that encouraging voluntary social or physical distancing may be more effective than stay-at-home mandates. And they analyze cell phone data to follow or track people in a general way. Since the start of the U.S. outbreak, Americans have been practicing distance voluntarily or because of governmental restrictions or a combination of the two. This is according to researchers at LSU. Maintaining physical distance from others can limit the spread. On and on it goes. It's like it's just perpetual nonsense. The virome is not escapable. You cannot escape the virome. So they looked at cell phone data and tried to correlate, you know, with the fear of the disease. But they say, it's one of those studies that goes, we think this means something, but we're not sure. But in general, the findings reveal that social distancing in the U.S. during COVID-19 was initially voluntary rather than a response to governmental jurisdictional restrictions. And you remember that early on, Super D. They weren't calling people and saying, you have to. It was sort of like everybody was like, whoa, what's going on here? And they kind of voluntarily went, all right, let's just kind of chill out, stay home. Let's not go out and do stuff because we don't know what's happening. Okay. There wasn't a hard, heavy-handed government mandate, stay at home. Then as it went on and the mandate started happening, people started going, no, I'm done with this. We talked about it on the air. We were on the air pretty much every day during this thing.
You can see it happening in your own neighborhood. Yeah. By the way, am I good with the plotted shots and stuff?
Yeah, here? You're good. You're good. Okay. Thank goodness. Yeah, but
I made the mistake of scooting in my chair.
Oh, and you shorted it out. But short circuit.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. We saw it happening in real time. We could see it was, you know, in our own areas, in our own neighborhoods, in our own communities where things were changing. But, you know, listen, it wasn't until the government decided to get heavy handed on this thing when things got kind of crazy out there. Right.
Yeah.
Where people are just like, no, you're not going to tell me what to do. You know, you're not going to force me to do what you want me to do. I want, you know, I thought this was the United States of America. And so what they found here in this study is that it's much more effective to ask people, you know, or as they put, encourage people to stay home rather than threatening them with fines and jail.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. What is it with government? I don't understand.
They can't figure it out, right?
It blows my mind.
But
they just have not figured out that you can't force people to do stuff. In this country, anyway.
We've talked about the stupidity of like the skeptics and others, right? We give them here. You're better off doing this, and they just can't help themselves. Which means ultimately they don't really care about the lockdowns. They care about exerting power over the people. Look how powerful I am. I, from the health department, said everybody has to stay home. Nobody can go to the restaurants and eat, whatever. And I think for some, it's a power trip. Some genuinely born out of irrational fear based on nonsense, non-science, if you will. But I think there's a lot of it that plays out, you know, power trip in government bureaucrats. But the implication of this study is what they said, as you said too, the encouragement of voluntary distancing could potentially be an effective and lower cost alternative to government mandated restrictions. Such encouragement could boost acceptance of restrictions. I mean, come on. If people are politely asking you, I mean, I'm not saying everybody will go along with it, but is it not a better technique? And the thing is, if you're willing to resort to violence to force people to stay at home, you're probably the same people that send a kid home who sneezed twice, even though those symptoms of sneezing once or twice not listed on the CDC's COVID look out for these symptoms guidelines. Yeah. Just amazing.
Go figure.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, they still haven't figured it out. And mm-hmm. it's like the harder, it's like that Star Wars quote, you know, mm-hmm. The harder you try and force people, mm-hmm. a free people, or somewhat free people anyway,
yeah, semi-free.
You know, to try and comply, the more people are going to push back. You know, this is like the conversation I had with my son earlier today in regards to that Joe Rogan thing that we started talking about,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like, look, you know, what makes you think that if you are editing and censoring and trying to control somebody's free speech mm-hmm. and keep people from hearing something, what makes you think those people aren't going to want to hear it more when you tell them they can't or mm-hmm. that they shouldn't, right? It's just human psychology. So you try and force people to wear masks. You try and force people to stay home. What are people going to do?
Yeah. What do you think they're going to do?
Us Americans are a stubborn folk.
We Americans, us Americans. I don't know. I have to ask my wife on that. All right. Yes. We are at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a quick break here. Be back. We're going to talk about, you know what? This is an opportunity to like pretend COVID doesn't exist. And let's talk about one of our other old favorite topics, antidepressants.
We got to switch gears once in a while. Yeah, right?
That could be good. And then we'll get back to it. And then, well, of course, we have some questions of the day that are not related and a comment of the day not related. So y'all need a reprieve from COVID crazy talk. We'll give you a little one after the break. In the meantime, when you go to robertscottbell.com, you will see what? You'll see a lot of banners of those who support this message of health, freedom, and healing liberty. As I scroll down here for everybody to see, I'm just on the listen page here so you can see all the ways to listen. You can share that link. But scroll on down, you'll see Trinity School of Natural Health. You click on Trinity School and you'll be taken to the school and you have info requests. You can learn about their programs. You can call an enrollment specialist today at 800-428-0408, option 2. And there are savings and discounts because you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show. So let's check it out, Trinity School of Natural Health, and we'll be right back.
For thousands of years, the iris has been examined to determine potential deficiencies and health issues in the body. Every human optic nerve contains between 800,000 to 1.7 million nerve fiber endings. These nerves connect our eyes to the brain and continue down our spinal cord, connecting to every organ and gland in our body. This course utilizes the iridology chart developed by Bernard and Ellen Jensen, which tells us what markings in the iris may be pointing to issues in certain organs or glands. In this course, you will learn how to identify the genetic strengths and weaknesses with organs, glands, and tissues, tendencies towards tissue irritation and inflammation, how to find the potential ability of an organ's reaction to the presence of illness, discernment of familial patterns of illness, including digestive issues, blood sugar tendencies, blood anomalies, and heart issues, and how to locate potential nervous system imbalances, spinal subluxations, circulatory disturbances, connective tissue weakness, and much, much more. Iridology is a fascinating art and science. Learning it will change the way you look at the human eye. If you're interested in learning iridology or have questions whether it's right for you or not, please send us an email or call and get started on your journey to transform the world.
All right, heading out to Colorado, travel day after the show, and just want to say I'm looking forward to seeing so many of my friends having some reunions with the Coloradans, if I can call you that, in Larkspur between Colorado Springs and Denver for the Freedom Tour USA with hashtag Megaphone Marine, Cordy Lee Williams. And we had him on Wednesday's show. Great, great update there, as well as, a lot of good stuff happening. And those of you who want to stand up for freedom with us, come on, get together, let's do it. And we won't need antidepressants. You won't. Come hang out with us. Now, what are we going to do to figure this thing out? Super Don, it's been a long time since we've done an SSRI story. Feels like it. And I remember one of our very special guests. I don't know if he was number 500 or number 1,000 or what. He was one of those guests where like, all right, let's get him on at a really significant number. We're closing on 1,500 guests, by the way.
Was that you remember? Peter Bregan, right?
Peter Bregan, yes. Yeah. No. And this guy is a psychiatrist. Has written extensively on the dangers of SSRIs. He, in fact, had, remember that staggering number he said of the number of people that died around the world from SSRIs? It's like half a million.
It was in the Western, where was it? It was the West, yeah, in the West. Yeah. I can't remember the exact way that it was put, but it was half a million people a
half
year.
Half a million, and we are like, we had been covering all kinds of things on drugs, killing X number of people a year, and he's like, no, just SSRIs, half a million.
And that to this day, that still just like boggles my mind because you listen to these statistics that people throw out there where you're supposed to be outraged. And listen, one death is not okay. It's not like we're making light of people's demise. But half a million a year?
Yeah.
How?
So, what if we talk about?
No, that's 500 million. It's not half a million. 500 million. That's half a billion.
No. I don't think it was half a billion, honestly. It's 500,000 a year. You go back and check. Yeah, no, if it's half a billion a year, then we're done. Bill Gates wins.
That's Dr. Evil.
Bill Gates wins if that's the case. So let's check this article out. Okay. Yeah, let's check this article out.
That's
still a big number, man. SSRIs linked to small but significant increase in violent crime. Now, what have we said about, not just because it's our opinion, but in the studies themselves and even in the insert to these drugs like Prozac, Zoloft, that kind of thing. Increase in homicidal, suicidal, and homicidal ideation and behavior. We've talked about the kids in school with the school shootings, right? That's been something that's an ongoing disaster. SSRIs played a part. Now, there are other psychiatric drugs like Ritalin and other things, but when you get into those late teen stages, they're often put on selective serotonin reuptake inhibiting drugs, despite the fact that they have no measurement to validate their claim that there's a chemical imbalance in the brain. Now, there may be heavy metal issues. There may be mineral deficiencies, amino acid deficiencies, essential fat deficiencies. The endocannabinoid system is corrupted, all of those things. But to have an article here, September 21st, it came out, 2020, acknowledging, and it was a large-scale analysis of Swedish population data, showed only 3% of individuals taking SSRIs were convicted for a violent crime. However, the drugs were associated with more than a 25% increased risk for such crimes, an effect that lasted up to, get this, 12 weeks after these medications were continued.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Dude, we talk about another disaster. And this drug has been on the market for how long? Prozac. And then the other ones that came out, the Me Toos, the copycats. And that's okay? Think about it. If St. John's wort, which is known in holistic circles to help people with some level of depression, they always say mild to moderate, but maybe even severe, I don't know. If it caused suicidal ideation or homicidal ideation or behavior, it would have been pulled off the market before it could even be sold in a health food store. Or the moment they learned about it, there'd be congressional hearings. And now you have this accepted, this is the price, the accepted cost of helping some people. Now, I know people that are on these things that have claimed it has helped them. And I'm not here to dispute their experience that they feel like, oh, they're finally able to have some level of interactivity. But it doesn't take away from the risk, the danger that does pose itself every time you titrate up or down those drugs. If you find that balance, it may work for a while. I know it does. I know people. But is it really because they were deficient in what? An SSRI medication? Or are there other nutritional factors, toxicological factors? On and on it goes. And that includes, of course, emotional and spiritual issues in their lives, trauma, abuse, etc. So, Super Don, I know this has been a sensitive topic, just in a general sense, because there are people that are very defensive about these drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, how dare you say anything wrong because it saved me, it helped me, nothing else worked. But I come back to this and I say, but did you try this? Did you try this? Did you try this? And I throw out a litany of things and they go, well, no, we didn't do that. Because they're like, I tried everything. Well, you tried everything that you knew at the time is the point. And I'll go with it on that. But there's always another step. Those should be last resort, if at all, even that. You know, it's arguable that those drugs are so dangerous.
Just because we point out things like this does not mean that it's a personal attack on somebody that has been okay with it. And good for you. You took it. Yeah. And you, but that does not mean then that all people who take it are going to have the same experience that you did.
Biochemical individuality. Yeah, but if it's a 25% increase in the risk for that kind of behavior, violent behavior, that's not small and insignificant.
They say here it's very, very rare. Okay, I always hear.
Yeah, I know. We hear it now.
Fauci every time that you read that, but they say, but you know, doctors should only really talk to people about it who've had a history of this outcome before. Mm-hmm. Well,
how do you know until
you know it what? What if it's their first time?
Right, that's the point. How do you predict that?
What if this is the time that they go shoot up a school or something? You know. Maybe we ought to think about it a little differently than that. Maybe this is something that, you know, should be considered. You know, they say here that people should be encouraged to self-report if they feel more aggressive or hostile during treatment. Okay. Mm-hmm. But again, what about the person who doesn't self-report? Mm-hmm. What about the person who experiences this the first time that this, you know, that they've taken this?
Right.
It's kind of late for that.
It is. And remember all of the different ways that you can address, and even more so than when I first started in broadcast media or even as a homeopath, so many different ways to address issues and symptoms of depression. So much more knowledge about nutritional options, so much more knowledge about the endocannabinoid system, which was never part of our discussion years and years ago because they only discovered it by, you know, that guy Meshulam in Israel during the time that we were already on the air. So this expanding knowledge base of options should mean that we should diminish our reliance on ever resorting to drugs that would increase suicidal homicidal ideation and tendencies and behaviors. We've talked, of course, over the years about amino acids, essential fatty acids, now CBD. Now we've talked about kratom as well.
Well, and Robert, let's also, you know, consider the fact that, you know, not in all cases, but a lot of the time, I think, in my opinion, unscientific as it is, that there are people that get put on these drugs before there are things not even that don't even require supplementation, counseling.
Yeah.
You know, therapy.
Talk therapy.
You know, things that you know, the symptoms that they're experiencing with the depression have nothing to do with a chemical imbalance. They have to do with things that are not being processed in their lives.
Right. You know? They feel powerless, isolated,
and there's no
alone,
supplement, no drug depressed. That's going to solve that problem.
Yeah.
It's something that, you know, it's much
and
deeper.
And that's the sad irony of the time we are living in right now. Of forced isolation, of almost induced depression by government fiat, by forcing people to stay home, by kicking them out of their jobs because we can't allow people to come into your place of work and now we're putting you out of work on purpose. How is that going to make someone feel that now can't earn a living to pay for their home or, you know, whatever else that they need, food, etc.? And we've added into the mix and we say, oh my gosh, the number one leading cause of depression is government right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more and more information coming out that's showing more people are dying from suicide and homicide in the era of lockdowns than are dying from what they call COVID-19. Sorry
lost
to bring that back
job,
up.
But, lost their business. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's not a good situation.
But heavy metals, mercury burdens, etc., the diminishment of mineral content. Another big aspect, and if you're new to the show, maybe you don't know about this, but all of those kids that shot up schools were also hypoglycemic. They lacked minerals like chromium in their system. And part of that acting out in anger, in rage, is being hypoglycemic. They call it in a joking way, hangry.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You're hangry.
I think everybody
suddenly out of control.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. The higher functions of the brain, they're being starved and you're like, ah, and you go into fight or flight and you're in rage and you're just, you don't know, as a kid, you don't understand what's happening. Sometimes adults don't because they don't have enough minerals like chromium in their system. So that alone, along with homeopathic lycopodium and iris, I mean, these are things that can be utilized in conjunction, can break the cycle. And then people say, well, we tried everything and we just had to resort to psychiatric drugs. No, you didn't try everything. You tried everything that you knew and then you gave up when you thought there was nothing else. Okay, I'm not criticizing you, but there's so much more. And your doctor likely doesn't know that so much more. They might. We've featured MD psychiatrists that do. So it's not like it's unknown. But I guess the point of this thing is just to kind of bring up something we used to talk about regularly and haven't covered in quite a while, with SSRI drugs being linked to significant, they call it small, but a significant increase in violent crime. On top of, hey, look at all the riots, on and on. How many of these people are hangry, hypoglycemic? How many of them are on these medications? Why are you laughing?
I'm thinking, have you seen the Snickers commercial?
Oh yeah,
where somebody's acting, you know, like you know, angry or crazy or something like that, and they say, "Here, have a Snickers," and they take a bite of the Snickers, and suddenly they're fine.
Yeah, they're back to.
I was just thinking, you know what? That's what they need to do at these riots. They just need to bring cases Snickers of bars. Snickers, right? Wow. Yeah. And suddenly everybody will turn into, you know, Boy Scouts and Grandma.
But isn't that interesting? A whole commercial on hypoglycemia, which could be argued as a medical condition. It's a mineral deficiency condition. But they focus on feeding your body pure refined sugar.
Sugar, yeah.
To fix it. And, of course, it's a temporary fix. And suddenly you're like, oh, I got it back again. Because you have no ability to take stored energy and get it out and utilize it because you have no chromium, right? And if you were to argue and maybe even advertise if you have a chromium supplement, and go back and listen to a week or two ago, one of the best episodes ever that Chris Barr and I have done on the issue of chromium, and there's still more to talk about. And you'll find out, man, most of this stuff, even depression, can be resolved by having adequate quantities of chromium in your system. Because when you have a lack of energy, depression is a natural, I don't know, sloping down. Eventually, you're going to depress. You've got no energy. That's depressing. I was there as a teenager in my early 20s. I'm not saying I was overtly depressed, but I was kind of like bummed out. Why don't I have energy? I didn't know. Nobody talked to me from the medical community. Hey, could be a mineral deficiency. Till I met my homeopathic mentor, and then that changed everything. So, all right, let's talk another mineral. In the era of COVID crazy, oh my gosh, they're addressing mineral deficiencies again. And of course, this will ban you. It'll get you banned. Hopefully it doesn't get us banned. The question here at WebMD, could zinc help fight COVID-19? Mm-hmm. Oh, good Lord, don't bring that up. They're gonna make WebMD banned on YouTube. Right?
Could be.
How dare right? you? You're upsetting the World Health Organization.
So they're not talking about hydroxychloroquine, though. So I think they're going to be okay.
But zinc, come on, that's a mineral. That's not a drug.
That's true.
It's not remdesivir or a vaccine.
Science has, of course, you know, this is science from Spain. So maybe it's not okay. Maybe
like,
it's
what kind of xenophobia do you have to say it's science right? from Spain?
It's not real science. It's Spanish science, right?
Yeah.
That sounds racist.
So they found low blood levels of zinc tended to fare worse, those people, than healthier levels in the era of COVID crazy. And this kind of corresponds, Super D, to when we talked about selenium as well. Yep. I mean, there is some level of crossover. I think selenium is much more important, but I'm not going to knock you if you're going to try zinc. Of course, we do here on the Robert Scott Bell Show 100% whole food form of zinc, which is made by Innate Response. No, actually, it's the Mega Food brand. Because let me go to into the Robert Scott Bell Show website. It'll take us over to choosetobehealthy.com. I want to show everybody what we use here, especially if you're a new listener to the show or viewer. We'll go to shop. We'll click on, let's see, Chris Barr recommended, which we concur. And let's see if we could find some zinc. See, you see a lot of Innate Response. There's Alta Health products there as well. And then we got Mega Food Magnesium. Why not Innate Response Magnesium? Well, because they started putting some synthetic forms of magnesium in, and then, nope, we're not going to do that. So let's go to the second page here, see if we can find some zinc in the list. Here we go. So Mega Food, which is the same brand as Innate Response in terms of company, but the zinc in the Innate Response line, they decided they wanted more, so they added a synthetic form. So we do the Mega Food Zinc. So if you really want to pump the zinc into your system, I take at least one a day, typically one a day. If you're under a lot of stress, working out hard, sweating like crazy, all of that, you could take more, but that's a difference maker. But I think, again, the selenium for me is more important, but that doesn't mean I ignore zinc altogether. That's not what I'm saying. So could zinc help? Lower zinc levels at admission correlate with higher inflammation in the course of infection and poor outcome, said a team led by Dr. Roberto Gary Fernandez at the Hospital Del Mar in Barcelona. One expert says, from the United States, if that makes you feel better, Super Don, he says it makes intuitive sense because it's long been thought that zinc bolsters the immune system. Pulmonologist at Lenox Hill Hospital, New York. A possible explanation in this study is that zinc may have an anti-inflammatory effect that is protective. Now, for those who have adopted in the medical community the hydroxychloroquine, do you remember why they were doing that particular drug?
Why?
Because they said there was a biological pathway that the hydroxychloroquine opened up the cell to receive the zinc.
Oh,
so it's an artificial induction to manifest more zinc activity or bioactivity, even if it's the wrong form of zinc, because most of these doctors are using the wrong form of zinc anyway. But they're getting an enhanced benefit. And some have argued we can use natural substances. We don't have to use the drug hydroxychloroquine. Get all that. But they still saw benefit. And then some would add an antibiotic and other things to it. But what we have done since the beginning, just about, as I've described in the article I wrote, I guess, back in February or March at robertscottbell.com, we used selenium primarily, and we used silver. And by the way, I just received pre-publication, a peer-reviewed medical article, Super D, that studied silver and silver's impact on what they call COVID or viral activity. And I've already covered other viral stories and viral peer-reviewed articles that silver is virostatic.
Interesting. So it stops that'll be interesting to talk about.
So we'll have to get Dr. David Blywise back on and talk about that. Anything else that jumps out at you on the zinc study here?
No, I think it's just more confirmation. You know, we've heard this talked about, and it's been a part of some censorship.
Yeah.
Certain doctors saying this. You know, it was branded as misinformation, but you know, when you've got science that's backing it, it just makes you wonder how they can get away with that.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
so how much time do we have left here?
We got about, I don't know, about 13 minutes.
All right. We got time to throw a couple of questions or comments of the day in here.
Yeah, let's do this question of the day first.
Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
All right, our first question of the day. I think, Super Don, you have it up so you can show folks. We'll get that into the mix here and see who's it coming from. Bill. Bill is writing in. Let me go full screen here. And what does Bill say? I'm trying to read this thing. It's kind of fuzzy on my screen. Oh, yeah, there you go. Hey, Dr. Bell and almost a doc, Super Don. I just love it because Bill's been around for a while. He knows the joke. Almost a doc. I was wondering if detox foot pads are any good for actually detoxing the body, or is it just another scam? They are from the Power Mall, Daniel Brigman. Now, that's, you know, Daniel from the
Power Hour.
Super Down?
Yeah.
And we love Daniel. He's a great guy, a super patriot, man of great integrity, and I got to get him back on the show as well, and I love when it was on the Power Hour with him. So I remember those detox foot pads. It's been a long time since I've used them because we used to use them. They would kind of stick. I think they were multi-level marketed. I'm not sure if that's the case today. And again, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. I have no opposition to any way that you want to get products, but sometimes they have to jack up the prices to hit all the payouts. But the technology, or let's say it's a sound, let's say, scientific rational explanation. It's been a year since I've looked into it, but we actually used to do them at home, my wife and I, long before we had kids even. You'd stick them on at night, and they would draw things into them overnight. Now, I apologize because it's been so long since I've looked into them. I can't remember, you know, what if I think there was some level of heavy metal detoxification and other things that were helpful in those circumstances. So, no, I do not believe they're a scam. I don't know if they're available direct marketed to, or if the stuff that Daniel has on his website at the Power Mall. I haven't had a chance to look because it's a travel day, but I did want to acknowledge your question, Bill. No, it's not a scam. Those things really work. There's history and science out of Asia for utilizing them.
But it's Asian science, Robert.
Oh, good Lord. And there's the xenophobic. Super Don, what's going on, buddy?
It's right up there with Spanish science.
Spanish science.
They don't know how to science.
An American said it's okay. Is that okay?
No. Well.
Well, look, what do we do for detox here on the Robert Scott Bell Show? Coffee enemas, Super Don? No. Altacangest? Yes. Selenium? Yes. Chromium? Yes. If you want to do herbs, whether it's milk thistle, a lot of people are into N-acetylcysteine, which is a precursor for glutathione, but the key is selenium. Without selenium, you don't get glutathione peroxidase. Okay, that's key. We talked about that many times over the years as well. There are other herbs. Cilantro can be used for detoxing heavy metals, but you got to make sure it's grown in real organic soil or else it'll be sequestering heavy metals as well along the way. But mineral content is everything. For other minerals, for other metals like aluminum, silica becomes key. So you have to test it out, Bill, and see how you do. And talk to folks and learn more. Read into the science and the claims, but there is some level of legitimacy to it, so I can't diss it. I don't diss things just to diss things, though, by the way. That's not me. Because I don't sell anything. People go, well, if you sell it, that's why you don't like it or do like it. No, I don't sell. The only thing I have is a book, and I tell you what I actually use. So there you go. Is that helpful?
I think that did it.
All right.
We got one more here.
Well, I want to make this a comment of the day just because I can.
Okay. Hey, you guys!
Hey, I tell you what.
Hey, here's an idea.
All right.
Hey, listen up, everybody. Excuse me.
I got something to say.
All right. This is a comment of the day coming up right now. Super Don's got it on the screen. It's a long one, really long one. He refers to me as Scott. Who is this? Calling me by my middle name. This is Alex. Is my buddy from high school or grade school? Probably not. No, Scott. First of all, I love your show and listen to the podcast rerun every chance I get. It has been so nice to have a beacon of sanity and truth through all this COVID madness and deception. Where I was disappointed in the others that I listened to, like Glenn Beck or Ben Shapiro, in not recognizing as quickly as I think they should have the stupidity of mask mandates, for example. It was so nice to have your voice out there early on, unmasking the stupidity of the premise of mask mandates. You really are in a class by yourself at the top of your game. Dude, Super Don, are you sure that's not my mother writing that?
Sounds like it could be, huh?
Dude, that was like, come on,
thank you. How much did you pay for this?
Alex, all right, I got
you. Did you type this?
Keep it coming, Alex. I like that. That was awesome. So this morning he says, I felt something. Let's see. What does it say here? I discovered something that felt quite indignant about. We order a high quality essential oils from a supplier in Germany. This morning on the phone, we found that FDA was holding up these shipments of essential oils, which we have patroned for years, while we heard they just got cleared to ship. I'm very concerned that the FDA is sticking their noses in this right now, as their motive seems obvious, to obfuscate access to services and resources helpful to health and wellness. Well, that's definitely not new. This is something we've been talking about ever since I started in broadcast media, Alex. Not long ago, he says, I read it in the May edition of the Epoch Times that FBI raided the clinic of a DO that was offering free intravenous vitamin C therapy to anyone closely working with the public. The FBI spokesman said that it was connection to a DHHS investigation into unproven treatment expressly for COVID-19. That's probably Operation Quack Hack. You know, we've talked as well to Jonathan Emord about that. I have a thought for the DHHS, FDA, FBI, etc. Guess what else isn't a proven COVID-19 treatment? Hooking people up to respirators, sending sick people to nursing homes that aren't ready to care for them, or mask mandates when everywhere it is implemented makes the COVID cases increase. Yeah, you say it, Alex. You're right. The DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, and its FDA branch need to get out of our business and let us take care of ourselves as we see fit. They should recommend against mask mandates, as it actually encourages spread of the virus, and they should absolutely not be getting in the way of me being able to buy essential oils. Amen, Alex. We're with you. When our supplier said the FDA was delaying shipment, I wanted to shout from the housetops. What else is the FDA mucking up that we don't know about? Why is their bureaucratic nonsense on this issue not a major news item? The answer to that is easy, Alex. It's that 50, 60, 70% of all the money coming in to media is drug money, and they don't want competition. It's bias built in. It's economic conflicts of interest. Alex concludes, you are one of the few voices out there actually calling attention to these infringements on our freedom. It made me all the more grateful for what you do, Alex. All right, so Super Don, I can retire now. That was like the greatest praise ever, just about. Other than when people say, I tried what you said and it worked and I'm better. Those are great too. But that was kind of cool. You know, I think about a lot of those other talk hosts, and, you know, we've had questions about that over the years in talk radio. It's like, why can't they see this? I mean, a lot of people that are suspicious of the government, they would suspend their suspicion when it came to FDA and medicine and vaccines, right? I bring that up all the time. And then one of our friends who we met through Jonathan Emord, Cheryl Chumley, she started seeing it. And when we started connecting with her, and she's just all over it, she now sees the cognitive dissonance, the blind spots.
She writes articles, pretty regularly.
Yeah.
Dealing with things of the, you know, vaccines and Anthony Fauci and the FDA and the CDC and all that stuff. So.
But I feel like that's the potential for every conservative libertarian that has a mistrust of government, that they could eventually wake up and see what Alex has pointed out and what I've been saying forever since I started.
Some people can, some people can't. Some people have more of an agenda, and I think that's the difference here. You know, I think back on the experience we had with Rusty Humphries at one time.
Yeah.
When you were a guest on his show.
You're
and
like,
Rusty was a, you know, God, guns, you know.
And government, apparently.
Flag and whatever. Yeah. And when you brought up that the FDA was corrupt and was doing things to protect the drug companies, it just did not compute. He was just like, I don't think that's true.
You know, when I was on Rusty Humphries, was Bush president still or was it Obama at that time?
That would have been, when was Bush, let's see, Obama was elected in what, 08?
08, yeah.
So chances are, I think Obama may have been president at that
okay.
point.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, interestingly enough, if we think about the conservative Hegelian dialectic divide with liberals, Rusty Humphries was still trusting the FDA even though Obama was in charge. Unlike liberals now that Trump's
in charge. Yeah, the idea of the FDA being corrupt and
they couldn't conceive it.
Protecting the drug companies it was just too much for him to swallow. He just couldn't. Yeah. He couldn't wrap his head around it. And that was the last time you were ever on the show.
But it's like that. Conservatives and libertarians who still have a faith in the mystical medical community, right? They know stuff. They're smart. They're not corruptible. The FDA in medicine, right? All of these things, vaccines, we trust it, right? There's a blind spot that still exists, although the irony of COVID crazy is that it's waking people up to the danger of some of these drugs, much less the vaccines. Remember, it was interesting about liberals that hate Trump on the hydroxychloroquine thing. They're like, what about the side effects? Oh my God, a drug that's been out for 65 years. There was no mystery left about what side effects that exist. They exist, but they're mild, whatever. Suddenly they were worried about side effects, but Remdesivir, no problem.
Just like now they're worried about vaccine side effects, right?
Exactly. It became a political divide
now it's a thing. Now they're all a bunch of anti-vaxxers. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Yeah. So, hey, have you heard about that Chinese defector or whatever that has been making the rounds claiming that it was a
I've heard some about that. Yeah,
we've talked about it, gain of function. Yeah, and you know what? My response to that was that I shrugged my shoulders and I don't think it's even news.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being, if they've successfully made a gain of function new virus that they claim COVID-19 is, it's really a disastrous.
It sucks.
It sucked, yeah. Right? What it did, if they can even argue that, it killed a bunch of old people who were on death's door. After that, it was all massive comorbidities. And after that, it's like, we don't know. They claim that they know, but they don't. And so for me, it's kind of a distraction. Not that, you know, look, when Trump says it's the Chinese virus, I think that's more politics and posturing than reality. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But the point is, viruses are not the cause of disease. Once again, I have to come back to the germ theory fallacy. If there is viral activity, it's indicative of disruptions in your terrain from within, your milieu, your environment. due to deficiencies in selenium, even zinc, due to heavy metal toxicity, which pushes out a lot of your minerals. And then, therefore, you have an adaptation for survival. You start spewing out genetic material from within for communication purposes. There are more viruses than there are bacteria and fungus combined, even. And there are more bacteria than you have cells in your body, mammalian cells in your body. When it comes to a virome, floating or otherwise, it's staggering. Quintillions. It's not even close. You cannot hide from viruses or exosomes or virions or floating proteins. You can't do it. And you're going to be sent home for sneezing now for no reason, because people are so much in the state of fear of the germ that they cannot think clearly. They are disconnected from source, God Almighty, in a sense, because they've adopted the fear of the germ as opposed to recognizing all of those things were created for our benefit, not our detriment, for the normal cycle of life, in fact. And that's where we go as we wrap up the first hour of the show. We have got...
it's the only hour of the show.
Yeah, we've got an encore coming up in a moment. I don't know what it is. Super Don will tell you, or you'll just see it.
This is what you guys are going to see on YouTube.
Okay.
If you're listening on UK Health Radio, you will have an encore coming up. So it's just 1 hour for YouTube today.
Okay.
Before we go, I just want to remind people, check your email inboxes for the RSB Show newsletter. Make sure that you get that so you can see how you can enter to win one of the homeopathic remedies from Dr. Frank King. We'll be giving that away, both of those.
Hopefully
away
Monday, right? Yeah, yeah. Monday. So we'll have the contest wrapped up then, and you could win something, which is awesome. For those of you Patreon subscribers, we did an AMA last Monday, and if you weren't there, you can watch it. It's up at our Patreon page, exclusive for you. So thank you for that. Keep supporting the show. Keep sharing the show. We're the best kept secret in Health Talk Media. But keep going. We're gonna get there. I thank you, everybody, for being here. For those of you I'm going to see in Colorado tomorrow, thank you for coming out and stepping up for health, freedom, healing, liberty, and the Constitution, limited government, and being a living example for your kids and grandkids that you don't have to lie down and take it when the government says, oh, you can't do this or you have to do that. Uh-uh. We don't ask for permission where none is required. This is the place for health, freedom, and healing liberty, where the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott the Bell Robert Show. Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Living Fuel. Upgrade your meal today. Imagine if you had a single meal which contained more protein than a half dozen organic egg whites, more fiber than two bowls of steel-cut organic oatmeal, more vitamin D than 10 fillets of Arctic fish, more vitamin B12 than 50 servings of raw organic cheese, more vitamin E than 1 pound of raw organic almonds, more calcium than 2 glasses of whole organic milk, more potassium than 2 organic bananas, more phytonutrients than 10 fresh organic green salads, more antioxidants than 10 bowls of fresh vine ripe organic berries, more omega-3 than 2 cups of organic edamame, more resveratrol than 4 glasses of wine, more probiotics than 6 cups of yogurt, more enzymes than 3 whole organic papayas, more vitamin C than 7 oranges. That would cost $268.13 per meal and equal to 14,124 calories. Imagine all that nutrition in a single super meal you can afford. Now, you don't have to imagine anymore. Living Fuel, the super meal you can drink. Upgrade your meal today.
Hey, what are you doing here?
What?
I got to go. I got to go to Colorado. Go home. Oh, you're already home. I get it. All right. You can't get enough. Listen, go back and play an archive version of the Robert Scott Bell Show. We got to go. Super Don's got to eat. I got to travel.
At the end of this,
yeah,
I should go. Chica-chica.
I heard Super Don with the sound effect right there. All right, folks. Just teasing. Had to come back and say hi. See who's still sticking around because I love you and appreciate you so much. All right. For real, I got to go now. We'll see you in Colorado on Saturday. John Rappaport on Sunday's broadcast. Back on Monday to give away some great homeopathic remedies and more. Please share the show, robertscottbell.com. Thanks for being here.